why do we see ghosts wearing clothes, sometimes even driving motor vehicles, doing things that are so physical?
Sure.
I myself have had physical altercations with poltergeists on two occasions. And as I say, that happened, I felt bone structure. These were living creatures with bodies and everything. And the unity of the body and the soul together is something that's very important if you believe in Christianity. The whole point of the incarnation of Christ and the resurrection of Christ was physical. Thomas, put your hand into my side. See that I'm not a ghost. Now, not exactly what it says, but that's the intent.
That's what he meant, though. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, it's what he meant. And this got me very, very upset with the whole idea of separation of soul and body. The spirit, the soul, whatever, the ghost, whatever you want to call it, is not a complete being. Certainly the body is not. And so as I got into this kind of multiverse thinking where you have already bodies all over the different worlds and it's all you and there's one great unity, then you can't die. You can't have death. There isn't an afterlife. There's just life. And that's how I would answer Stephen Hawking. I think even the great Stephen Hawking is a victim of the assumptions and the unsupportable paradigm of Western thought. We have trouble seeing the big picture. Why? Because we sit in school when we're kids, and certainly I can testify to this, Ben can testify to this, and we sit through, okay, we're studying math. Then we move on to the next subject, science. Geography, as if they're separate from one another.
Yeah.
Well, they're not. And it hobbles our thinking forever after that. And we constantly run into this problem, and it frustrates the heck out of me. And from what Ben says, it does sound, I don't speak for Ben, but it sounds like it frustrates him too. People cannot see the big picture because there's so much more to it than the Western mind allows. It's materialistic, which is not, quantum physics has blown that out of the water pretty well. The scientific method, I think, has to be rewritten because it's not good enough. None of it is good enough. So pardon me for going on, but I'm getting frustrated with that. So I don't believe in an afterlife either. I just believe in life. One continuous, indestructible, physical and spiritual life together, all one.
But it carries over. At least there's something. Stephen Hawking doesn't believe that. He just says it stops.
Well, that's Stephen Hawking. I mean, how does he know? How do we know anything? Our motto, Ben and mine, is unofficial motto, is everything you know is wrong because we can't know anything. And I've had professors on my show saying, well, yeah, but you know, Rene Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. I said, well, don't look now, but at the end of his life, on his deathbed, Descartes, the great French philosopher Rene Descartes, recanted that. He said even that's not good enough.
Yeah, same thing with St. Augustine.
Augustine, actually. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, it was Thomas Aquinas. Then there was an A in there somewhere.
Yeah.
St. Thomas Aquinas said the same thing, basically, at the end of his life. He wrote this whole big book on life, and then he had, like, an NDE, and then he looked down and was like, this is but straw. And all his followers were like, ah, oh, he's just crazy. Let's print it anyway.
Yeah, he's delirious. He's dying.
Frank Sinatra's last words, I'm losing. It's almost as if he knew that was it for him.
And he wasn't used to losing.
No.
But again, in the end, it all ends in silence. All our quest for knowledge, all our quest for science, and you stand before God, whatever, you know, whatever you believe he, she, it, or them may be, and it's just you and silence.
Ben,
and that's
let me
ask
Ben this.
The same thing will happen to Stephen Hawking.
Most people your age, do they believe in the things you believe in?
You know what's interesting about that? Most people I talk to, they're actually getting more and more open-minded. Maybe it's just because I'm changing groups of friends, but that's just me. Like, most people I talk to, like, I know a girl that I'm probably starting a band with who she goes to college for holistic medicine, and we have, like, conversations about this, too. And some of my friends are really into, like, the paranormal and stuff, and I explain this stuff to them, and they're just like, oh, wow, that totally makes sense. And
so they're thinkers.
Yeah, like I try to surround myself with people who can think, because then I can actually have decent conversations instead of just saying, hey, how's your new TV going? Oh, good, I just mowed the grass, too.
I guess, look at my new phone.
Like that.
But
mostly, I don't know, I think it's split down the middle. Like, my dad will probably point this out later in the show when he met this little boy named Peter who was terminally ill, and he basically said, well, there's high men and low men, or high people and low people, and I try to surround myself with high people instead of low people.
Well, that's the way to do it. I call it high energy, bad energy, almost the same thing.
Under the miles of babes.
Whatever floats your boat. I mean, I try to stick around with people who are calm, don't cause too much trouble, and, well, they're just good to have around and all that.
You don't want to be around negative people, Ben.
Yeah, because I've been around it all my life. I mean, heck, like, I was probably possessed for, like, 4 years, for, like, 3 out of my 4 years in high school.
What do you mean,
possessed? I went to some, what was it, like, this senior retreat we had beginning of our senior year, and, heck, like, we did this praying over of hands, and I was just like, I was, like, on the floor, like, spazzing out because...
Pain?
Well, yeah, kind of, but I was having, like, seizures and all that, and, like, some kid who was, like, speaking in tongues was just, like, praying over me and all that. Like, 2 weeks later, this guy that's, like, the head of the, what's it called, the high school, like, chapel thing, and he was just like, oh, yeah, you were possessed. I was like, what?
The chaplain, as we call it.
Yeah, like that, and I was like, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So,
did you ever see that, Paul?
I surrounded myself with better people.
Paul, did you see that when he was that age? That he might have been possessed.
I would not call it possession, but I monitored his progress. He had to go through that, and it sounds like a terrible thing for a father to say. I mean, this isn't the head turning around and, you know, vomiting. I mean, it was a very subtle attack by parasites. If you were to come to our house, you might feel the power here. We have a lot of protection. As a matter of fact, I had an experience last night that I'll share when the time comes, or whenever you want me to do it. Ben had said that he had asked for further protection. But we're very highly protected here because of our work against what we refer to as parasites. Folklore calls them demons and this sort of thing. But I think I was aware of the negativity in Ben's life at that time, and I just felt it was not that it had to work itself out. It was not endangering him in any permanent way, and I had to let him go through it. I just felt a real sense that I had to let him go through it, and sure enough, he came through it, and he had the help of friends and his family, too. We have a very supportive atmosphere here, and he came through it very well, and look how he turned out. I'm incredibly proud of him, and you don't know the half of it as far as what
he had to go through.
His abilities and what he's going to do.
Was there a point, though, you thought you were losing him?
No.
Never?
No. No. We've always been very close, both my sons and I. And I monitored it very, very closely, but I knew that it would work out, and it did.